They served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I
love. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 1330 KNSS. Phone lines are open. If you're interested in calling, I know I've got a caller on the line. I'll get to you in here in just a second. Joining us in studio for this next half hour is State Representative Les Mason from McPherson, District 73. Les, thank you for joining us here in the studio.
Thank you, John.
You just missed the marijuana debate.
Actually, I didn't miss it. I heard it.
Well, and did you have Doritos or brownies for that debate?
I'm more of a Cheetos guy.
It's a Cheeto guy. So, unless, for those of you who don't know, was just recently elected by his peers as the new assistant majority leader for this upcoming session. So, unless you've been in the House since 2014, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
2014. So he's been in the House for a while. And one of the reasons I asked him to come in, and the assistant majority leader has a number of different functions, and I'll let you kind of go into that. But one of the ones that I know you really are going to focus on is the mentoring and kind of, you know, showcasing the new reps. And you know, people, when I was first elected and you know, even throughout my time in the House, people always used to, one of the big jokes I used to kind of get a kick out of is people would say, hey, what are you doing home from Washington?
Yeah.
You get that too occasionally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. And I don't think, because some people, some people don't know who their state rep is or their state senator is. Some think they're in Washington, D.C. Some think we make hundreds of thousands of dollars and live in penthouses. They don't realize that we stay at the Ramada Inn in apartments with shag carpet that was, you know, changed and renovated in the 70s.
Oh, I don't think mine was that recent.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, my room at the Ramada is smaller and, you know, about what my college dorm room was like. So.
Well, and don't forget the enormous $88.66
yes,
per
yes.
legislative day.
Yeah, that $9 an hour that we're paid. And people don't realize that it is quite a sacrifice. And so one of the things I wanted to kind of have you on is talk about, so people get an appreciation for what a newly elected state rep, what they go through, what they're...
Well, when I ran for this, I started with the principle that I, you know, for us as a majority party to keep those impressive majorities, that's going to start with the newly elected people. We're going to need to keep them successful in this first term and ultimately a successful reelection. And we do that, I think, by giving them the tools and the techniques that they need. So basically, I put together a six-week program for them, and I'll be going over this like on Tuesdays when session starts, like a lunchtime meeting. And I've nicknamed them, these are things I wish I had been told 5 years ago when I came in.
Yeah, I was going to say, we never had any of this when I came in as a freshman. It was, you know, here's your key, here's your thing, and welcome.
No, and you mentioned I came in 2014. I was from a precinct election. So I came in February. I did not have the benefit of an orientation or anything like that. It was just like, here's the key to your office, have fun. And so I theorized at that time that it was like I was moving to a foreign country. And turns out in retrospect, that was very accurate. So I theorized that I needed to learn the people and I needed to learn the language and the culture and the customs. So that's what I really focused on at first. And some of those lessons are the things that I'm going to impart to the new classes. Here are some things you really need to focus on. Nobody's going to ask you to be world beaters just yet. You need to focus on the institution and learn the customs and learn the people and ease yourself into this. Use this first session to learn those things and just get comfortable.
Yeah, I that's good advice. I mean, because people do really have to figure out, it's not as simple as, you know, where the House chamber is and where your office is, but there are just some basics of, you know, when you can wear your jacket and when you can't take your coat off and you can't walk down the center aisle when we're in session, and some basic, just simple little things that help you not embarrass yourself.
And those are the types of things we'll be going over in week two. It's just like, you know, when we do the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance, you stand behind your chair.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, they don't tell you that in orientation, but that's just one of the customs.
Right.
And you mentioned the center aisle. Once the gavel falls, you're not to be in the center aisle, or the sergeant of arms will take you to task. Gentlemen, when they go to the well to speak, they wear a coat. They wear a jacket. It's not in the rules. That's just an unspoken rule, a custom. So those are the types of things that the people are going to need to know. They're going to need to learn. And one of the best things they can do is just really, really observe and then practice it. You know, just basically mimic what they've seen. Week one, we're going to just really talk about the definition of the job. What's your new job description? And I've got it distilled down to one very overly simple job description. Week two, we're going to talk about assimilation. Week three, we're going to talk about filtering data and statistics. The one thing it took me quite a while to really figure out is when somebody's presenting data and statistics to you, they're not lying to you. They're telling you the truth as they know it.
Right, exactly. Their version of.
Right.
Yeah.
So this will be just, here's some things to look for as you're in committee, as you're listening to some of the data and some of the statistics. They can be shaped. They can be spun. They can be misunderstood. They can be misinterpreted, and sometimes they're just irrelevant.
Yeah. Well, and you know, one of the things that I've tried to give some counsel to some of the new, certainly the conservatives who are coming in, and a few of them have reached out, and I've tried to give them some advice. And I think one of the two things that I've advised them is, first off, the press is not your friends. They're not your enemy by any chance, but they are not your friend. They have a job to do. And you can be friends with them, you can be cordial with them, but you have to recognize that anything you tell them is, you know, in all likelihood is going to get published.
Right, right.
So keep that in mind. And the other is that, you know, everyone up there has an agenda, and they're friendly, and they want to be your best buddy, but you have to be careful who you trust and who you say something to, because in all likelihood, anything you say to anybody is going to get out.
Right.
And you've got to just recognize that it's a different environment. And that was one of the lessons that I think, you know, I had to learn, and it was a hard lesson to learn, is it's not a normal environment to work in. People, you know, you have to take the wind out of your sails a little bit, because otherwise you're wined and dined. And I mean, you're not wined and dined. It's, you know, we go to
dinners, yeah.
Yeah, but it's half the time it's buffets and it's, mm-hmm. you know, chicken fingers. It's not like it's lobster and prime rib all the time. But it's just a different environment, and they have to stay grounded. And so I always admonish them to, you know, call home every night.
Yeah.
Stay in touch. Make sure that you're remembering why you're there and the people that sent you there, because the minute you let it go to your head, you forget why you're there.
Yeah, and not just that, but who you are, you know,
yeah.
And why you came here in the first place and how you got here. You know, you're here for a reason, and if you abandon those reasons, if you walk away from it, if you ran on certain issues and you walk away from those issues, somebody's going to remind them of that in 2 years.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. So we've had a caller on the line here for a while. I'm not entirely sure that he's still there, but let me check here. Jake, thank you for holding. I know you've been holding a while. Thank you for holding. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Well, no, I apologize. It took me a while to get to you, but I appreciate your patience.
Hey, no problem. Hey, I was listening to you debate with your two fellas from talking about marijuana.
Sure.
You know, it's great that we're having a debate about it. I think for too long it's just been shunned that people smoke marijuana. And I think many people are realizing that it's not as bad as it's claimed to be, and that there's more people doing it than expected.
Go ahead. Well, I think you're right. I think it's good to have the debate. One of the biggest frustrations I had, and I think, you know, Les, I think some of these new incoming freshmen are going to find this. When I came into the House as a freshman, one of my biggest frustrations was the fact that so many issues weren't debated. And you know, we touched on this earlier in the show, is sometimes they won't hold the debate. They won't put it up for the vote. They won't, you know, let it out there. Let's have the debate. Let's have the discussion, right or wrong. Put it out there. Put them on the record. Let's have that argument. And one way or the other, at least you're having the discussion. And so, oh, yeah. You know, whether you agree with it, whether you're pro or con on a particular issue, I think it's healthy to have these debates, because if nothing else, you're at least having the discussion, whether you support it or not.
Oh, yeah. Well, how about instead of having the senators and the people making the laws vote about it, why don't we set it up for a special election like we do for president and county commissioners? Why don't we have a statewide vote to see how many people would vote for or vote against it?
That would still have to go through the legislature.
Yeah, in Kansas, we don't have ballot initiatives. So we would have to actually do a constitutional amendment to allow ballot initiatives. And we've tried doing constitutional amendments in Kansas. You need a supermajority out of both chambers, so it'd be very difficult to put it on the ballot in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly, I don't know how it would pass. I think, yeah, I've seen some polling. I don't necessarily trust the source on it, because the most recent source I saw was Fort Hays State University, and their polls tend to really slant left. I think medical would pass, but the biggest question that I've always had with medical is, how do you control who prescribes and who they prescribe to? That's always been my concern with medical.
Is it any different than these people going to their local marijuana dealer?
No, but that's illegal.
Smoking it anyway.
And it's no different than the opioid crisis. But then again, that's why we have an opioid crisis. And that's why I don't necessarily support medical marijuana, is because I don't want to have a marijuana crisis to go with our opioid crisis. But Jake, I do appreciate you holding on through as long as I've had you sitting on hold. I appreciate the call. Let's hold on through this break. When we come back, we'll keep up the conversation. You are listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.